Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hey, welcome everyone. Hi, Jules.
And at this moment, we look like we're going to be having peace in Korea.
Whoa.
At this moment.
Just for a moment.
Just sometimes
we have
for a
no
moment.
Idea what we in fact we hate to talk about anything that's timely on this
right,
show.
Right, exactly.
Things change so fast.
So can I not talk about Tom Brokaw being part of the Me Too movement as well? Can I not talk about that?
I didn't know about that.
He had a couple allegations come through on Friday about him, and he's denying it, of course. Just saying one woman said that he. And I'm bringing this up because I want to talk about a couple of things today and how, you know, things that worked in the past no longer work now, mm-hmm. and things that work in the future won't work. They, you know,
things that work
now will not work in the future.
Correct.
And I believe that that's evolution. And when we can acknowledge that, we can take the guilt or like the frustration of like you have to be perfect now, mm-hmm. and I only because you mentioned we talked about this before, like you brought up this idea of dad going, you know, I know what we're talking about, but you said, you know, Norm used to tickle me a lot, mm-hmm. but because I know your father, it wasn't like he and I had a safe word. Oh, okay. Let me repeat the story. Let me set this whole idea up, this whole framework I've been working with and thinking about.
Okay.
We were listening to Dan Savage, and someone called in about how they were entering into a new relationship, and it was a
dominant submissive.
Yes, and she was going to be submissive.
Yes,
and the dominant said I don't want to have any limitations, and I want no safe word.
Right,
and already she said, well, there is one thing I don't want to do, and he does want me to do that. And
talk about anal.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to try to avoid that word.
Why?
I don't know. I think I'm just trying to go high. I don't know.
Oh, okay. You're talking about Dan Savage.
I can't.
Dominant and submissive, but can't
but,
say
okay,
anal.
But the thing, yes, exactly. But the other thing was she wanted a safe word. And he says, well, no,
that's right.
That's not right if you're a dominant and you're the submissive.
Yeah, you don't get the choice.
And Dan Savage says something appropriate. He goes, you know, if your dominant does not want to play by the appropriate rules, mm-hmm. he's a bad dominant.
Yes.
He's a bad dominant.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting it. And then I don't know if this was before or after, but you had mentioned Normano and how mm-hmm. Normano like to tickle you sometimes.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Okay. And if you didn't know him and love him, you go like, this guy is really assaulting me. He's tickling me and I don't like it. But because you know, you can say, stop it, Normano.
Right.
You're getting close to the line.
Right.
And he will stop it. You let him tickle you until he gets close enough to that line.
Whatever
that line is at that moment.
Yeah.
You know, depending on maybe what you ate. You know, like it was right after a meal.
Got
you're it. Like, are like, hey, I have a full bladder. You better knock that crap off sooner than later. You know, there's things that, you know, you wouldn't do.
Well, also, too, like tickling can be a form of, I think, you know, it can hurt eventually. You know, you're like,
Stop it.
This really hurts.
Because at some point, it's only fun for literally a second or two.
Right.
And then it becomes abusive.
Yeah.
Or like you're no longer enjoying it.
Well, I can remember even as a little kid, there was somebody, I can't remember, it was one of my grandpa's friends. And whenever my grandpa went to go see him with me, I didn't like it because he was the tickler.
He was known as a tickler.
He was the tickler.
Oh, now see, that's,
and you just,
when
like,
you get that name, the tickler.
You're the tickler.
Yeah, that's not good.
Is there not an anti-superhero named the tickler? It sounds like he should be a nemesis. Batman.
Yeah, the
Batman.
Tickler, like the Joker.
Yeah.
The Tickler.
The Riddler.
Is there the Riddler and the Joker, the different people?
Yeah,
so I would think that would go right in there.
Right
the Tickler,
in there.
The Riddler, the Joker.
Yeah.
It sounds like a sex toy. Yeah, exactly. A sex toy. Woohoo! Tickler.
Well, you brought up Dan Savage.
Well, here's the deal. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because Tom Brokaw got the news about some allegations that happened, I think, decades ago. Because he's been out of the
news. You say decades ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the woman mentioned that she was at a board meeting with him or some kind of bigger meeting, mm-hmm. and he tickled her in front of everybody, and it made her feel embarrassed, highly embarrassed, and mm-hmm. it wasn't business-like or appropriate. And then he showed up in the future of that at her hotel room and wanted to start an affair of something, you know, and he showed up unexpected and unwanted. But that was it. It didn't go any further than that.
Mm-hmm. And because when she said no,
as far as I know, uh-huh. as far as the story at this moment yeah. knows.
So I'm saying he shouldn't be part of the Me Too movement.
The only thing I can think of is mm-hmm. that I agree with you, but as a person that is older and not 1920, mm-hmm. who, you know, that's like, well, no, everything has to be now. Nobody touches anybody without consent. Mm-hmm. You know, like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm having to, what worked back then, mm-hmm. like my feeling is she said no, mm-hmm. she shut him down, mm-hmm. and he didn't go further. Mm-hmm. And hopefully he didn't then try to hurt her career.
Right. You know, beautiful.
You know, because if that happened, if he tried to hurt her career, yeah. mm-hmm. then I think, oh, then he's just, yeah. you know, he's part of that. And he's like, you know, we've got to, but also it was back 20 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, or, exactly.
I mean, I think he's been out of the business mm-hmm. for a long time.
I don't know, but I am totally on your side, this idea that pulling things that happened 20, 30 years ago, when like especially like that episode,
right,
where the culture was different, we have to acknowledge
and
that.
And the culture was you were able to find dates at work. I mean, like, that was okay. Where do you meet your boyfriend or your husband? Mm-hmm. Either at school or at work. Mm-hmm. Those are the two places where you meet your spouse at.
Or a bar.
But if you're not, you know, but now at some point you're like, it's all online, or it's a dating site, or mm-hmm. it's a friend, but it's not mm-hmm. appropriate to be at work.
Well, like if you would look at some movies from the 50s and 60s,
yeah.
you could see that, you know, the woman, if she was a good girl, this is the culture, she was expected to say no once, twice, maybe even three times before she said yes.
Yeah.
So you would right. try that many times.
Right. You keep saying no until they say yes, and then it's okay.
Yeah.
But when does asking just become a form of abuse? Like, stop effing asking me.
Yeah. But those are things that we need to know now.
And then the rules change. And I agree. Like, for those situations, like I said, all I know is what I've heard at this moment, mm-hmm. which is Tom Brokaw, you know, for this one person, this one mm-hmm. woman, and I'm not saying it wasn't embarrassing or mm-hmm. humiliating. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he probably thought nothing of it.
Right. I just want to tickle you.
I want to tickle you. Or
you
like,
so, just so cute. I don't care if we're at a board meeting. I just want to tickle you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, come here. Let's have a good time. Like, oh, we can do this story or whatever. And I don't know how.
And she went, oh, just leave me alone.
Leave me alone. Yeah. Leave me alone. And he's like, all
this
right.
This is not the appropriate time. Knock, knock on the hotel. Yeah. Is this the appropriate time? May I tickle you? He's a tickler. Tom Brokaw is a, you know what? We should say alleged.
Alleged. A total allegation. I have no idea. Yeah. I don't know the whole story. I mean, there's got to be more to this. And of course, he says he's denying it all. In the sense of, I met her a couple of times. And yes, we talked about her career, but that was it.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, talking about her career. Uh-oh. But what does that mean exactly? Are you talking about the advancing of her career, or mm-hmm. about a story, mm-hmm. or about this, or just talking about career in general?
You know, I just love the fact that this is so messy.
I just
love it.
Exactly.
and that most of us are willing to just get in the dirt and in the mud and have a go at it. Let's talk about it. Let's see how messy we can get.
I hope so. I think that we're all ready to have a go in it, aren't we? I think so. It's interesting when you say we're all... I think a lot of people want to see it as black and white.
Yeah.
And you can't go back 20 years or 30 years or even 15 years and call it black and white.
Right.
It's just not possible. So... I'm curious how it's all going to lay out, and I'm just, if you're wondering why I'm a little distracted.
You're very distracted.
I'm noticing there's a little bit of a hum maybe on our line, you know,
uh-huh.
And I hope it's not coming through too much.
Okay.
So if it is, I apologize, people, you know, but that's what I was hearing, and now it's gone, so who knows, maybe when, you know, somebody was hearing as background talk or mm-hmm. someone singing the yesterday We were reading about something. Mm-hmm. Who I love. You were talking to a dear friend, and we were kind of doing our spiritual work together. You know, you know how you have friends to do this with, and friends to do this with, and mm-hmm. friends to do that with.
Well, this friend, it's totally spiritual work,
and spiritual in the guise of like yeah, you know, like woohoo stuff. Like, you know, I wouldn't talk about this stuff with anybody else mm-hmm. but you and her mm-hmm. because who wouldn't get it, right? Mm-hmm. And you were doing a little channeling, and you said. Or you're always in the spirit, and then if a word comes up that you're not, mm-hmm. you like, I have to express it, mm-hmm. and I have to look into it. Mm-hmm. And you had a couple of names come up. And one was
Hilarion.
Hilarion. Mm-hmm. And the other one was
Drenvalo.
Drenvalo Melchizedek.
Melchizedek, yes.
Drenvalo Melchizedek. And so I'm like, well, what does this all mean?
But she, when she got it.
Yeah, she did get it.
She got it.
She didn't get Hilarinio. Hilario. Well,
no, yes, she did.
Oh, was she?
She or went, didn't oh, get, that he, she didn't get. No, but then she said, I understand now about, she said it was, she started crying and she goes, something about Greece.
Oh, right. Something
No?
Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
She went, thank you for that.
Yeah, she did say thank you for that, for those words. Yes. Well, I mean, Hilarinio?
Hilarion.
Hilarion. I get all, Hilarion. He is...
Like the master of the fifth ray.
Yes, which is healing arts, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool, mm-hmm. you know. And so we went down that rabbit hole for a while. Mm-hmm. And... I don't know what the point of this whole story was.
I don't either. What was it about?
But what it was is that there's this idea that here we are discussing Melchizedek, which I think is a funny name.
Well, especially since you were calling it Melchizedek. I'm like, Cheese-a-dick. Melchizedek.
And I know it's a biblical name, and I thought to myself, what if you were one of those people that name your kids in the Bible mm-hmm. from real Bible names, but you go deep. You know, you don't just go the like
Levi.
Joseph. Yeah, mm-hmm. you go deep and you go Melchizedek. Now that's a name no one messes with, man. If you name your kid Melchizedek, Melchizedek, you know, no one's messing with you.
Melchizedek Smith.
Yeah. And so I went down this rabbit hole about what he was all about. And I go, oh, it's foreshadowing, you know, and foreshadowing the coming of Christ and all that stuff. So it was very interesting. But I still don't know what I was talking about.
Well, you know, you got off on it because you said there was a hum.
Got off on it. Yes. And that's right. And so when we were doing that work the other day.
There was a hum.
There was this background music that I was audibly hearing.
Yes.
And
you kept asking me if I heard it.
Right. And you go,
I'm not hearing it.
Because there have been times I will hear something and cross the house mm-hmm. and I'll go, have you heard this? And he goes, did you hear anything? He goes, yes, I heard this. I go, that's exactly what I heard. Mm-hmm. And it's not like a hum or this. It will sound like one time I heard a melodic melody by a woman.
Right.
You know?
I did too.
And I thought it was you singing. I go, right. Oh, Mama's singing.
Mama's happy
and she's singing. It was right before a class we did. Mm-hmm. And then in the last 6 months, I heard like literal humming, like humming a tune, you know, really clear and all that stuff. And then the other day, I heard mm-hmm. it again. I'm like, that's mm-hmm. it's not in my brain. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a word coming from me. It is literally, I'm hearing it.
Yeah.
Are you hearing it?
These audible things are pretty interesting.
Yes.
And people, I haven't talked to a lot of people about it, but people will say, I've only had once or twice in my life where I actually heard something audible.
Yes.
That, and for me, just recently, I had, I woke up around 6:30 in the morning, and I was just sort of waking up, and I heard this very clear female British voice, just clear as a bell, say, defend the antelope.
Yes.
And I was like, what the heck is that mean?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it was just clear,
right.
Clear as a bell. And later on that day, I told you about it. And I said, I've only had a couple times where I've heard audible things. And so I said, let's look it up. And I think you went to Google or Wikipedia. I don't know what, but you went defend the antelope.
Yes.
And there was only one thing that came up, and it was from like 2012, I think.
Push it up more. There you go. Thank you. 2012, right.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. My microphone slipped.
Yeah.
There was just one thing, and it was it was an audio of a documentary or something, or a news clip.
Right.
And it was an audio, and it was a female voice saying something about that we're losing the antelope.
Yeah.
And we don't understand.
A mass death occurred.
Extinction or something.
Yes.
And we don't understand why.
Right.
And it was from 2012, and it had a British voice.
And that was wild.
It was wild because it had no real relevance. Mm-mm. In my life. Like I could say, oh, well, this means this. At least I don't at this point.
Right.
I mean, it still could come. But for me, the relevance is that as we expand our consciousness, as our radars are able to capture other things, we have to pay attention.
I think
that's the only thing that I'm getting at this point, was that at some place in my consciousness, I was able to, without really me, knowing it, pull that from some place.
And you paid attention to it.
And just paid attention to it.
And by paying attention to it, you also then go, I need to go a little deeper just for reference.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was cute when you said, I asked you to go look it up, and I think you went on Google or something. Like, yeah, I Googled it. Or I opened a book. I went to the library, and I went to the library cards, and I looked it up. No. but to be right there and to have confirmation, I think sometimes you're just asked to listen and acknowledge. Mm-hmm. Before, like you say, there's any real relevance to your own life. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a couple things going on in your life, and that you go, I really need an outside wisdom to tell me yes or no on mm-hmm. this, mm-hmm. because you waver on this decision, such mm-hmm. as like,
well, you want verification.
Verification.
I wouldn't say outside, but I mean, you want
that sort of extra
dimension of verification. But I think we're coming to a time where it really is important that we, it used to be, I do need a sign. I want verification. But I think we're coming to a time where we're being asked to look, to expand our consciousness for the sake of expanding our consciousness.
For no other reason.
How does this help me? It's not about that. It's how does this help raise the vibration of the planet?
How does it? Yes,
and I know that sounds kind of woo-woo, but
it does. It
does. But all our vibrations are constantly getting raised. Like just like you talked about the Me Too movement, that is a raising of consciousness, and but it is very much in this dimension. But our consciousness has really no real limitations.
Right.
There is we may only have, 12 feet around us where we're able to, consciously bring in the energies. But there's really no, it's infinite where we're pulling from.
I don't know if you could tell, but my mind's being blown right now. Just someone's blowing my mind.
Go, girlfriend, go.
You're blowing my mind. Well, what I got, though,
today, Julie and I right now, we're like hopped up on donuts. Because Julie went out and got donuts, and so we're like into sugar right now. But you went out and got them at the place where we always love to get our donuts. And your father was about four blocks away, and he calls you.
Yes.
And he goes, where are you? I just got a feeling. He's delivering a load.
Yeah.
And you went, I'm at Casey's. He went, oh, you're at Casey's. What are you doing? He went, oh, I'm getting donuts from. Get me some. I'm here, in Oregon. So literally, you're getting donuts, and he's actually passing by. He stops, and within 2 minutes,
It was done.
His dad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it works, right?
And somehow, there was no reason for him to call.
No.
And there was no reason for him to think that I was doing this.
100%.
And it was totally off target. I mean, there was no reason for him to be in that area either.
Right.
It was like not the right timing.
Exactly.
Just, nothing was perfect.
Nothing.
But it just happened that it all worked out.
And it was perfection.
And not just worked out. Yeah. It was a 2-minute diversion for my day.
Right.
Which helped him and helped me. I mean, it was like I made a guy happy. And it required no extra energy from me.
Yeah.
There are times when, I don't know, first of all, I don't know who said this, but I mentioned it to you before. I think it was one of Adam Carolla's friend, Krager. I think he's part of Krager University.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that he says I don't agree with. But one of the things he said was, it's really your only job is to bring your happy, calm self to the world.
Yes. Oh, yes. You know, yes.
So otherwise, you're
adding to the chaos.
Yeah. And so if we all try and be healed, we take care of each other in some sense.
Yeah.
But there are moments when you go, wouldn't it be lovely to make somebody's day? I mean, just like make somebody's day or give somebody a happy moment.
Yeah.
And last weekend, I kind of had that moment with Dad. First of all, this weekend, it was like, woo, I made his day.
Yeah,
like,
you made his day.
I made his day. He was happy. It took no extra time. And it was like, awesome. Last weekend, I was we had to watch Doug's brother, Bob. And Doug's niece came by and her husband came by from the suburbs and came out, and she was going to help too because it takes a village. Yeah, it takes a village. He doesn't need care, but he's, developing delayed and so forth, and he likes to go to Culver's. And we went to Culver's, but before this, Doug's niece, her husband, loves trains. And I'm not saying like loves trains with a little love. Like, he loves trains with a capital L-O-V-E, capital L, capital O, capital V, capital E. And he could just go to a train track and wait for hours to go by and see a train. Now, he also is a actuary person. Actuarian?
He's a CPA.
He's a CPA, but he's getting his little classes or tests to get higher up into it, and so forth. And so, he'll count the trains or whatever, but he's just like one of those big...
Because he's an accountant. He counts the trains.
He counts the things.
Trains.
So anyway, so we went and we were there for like 20 minutes and nothing happened.
Yeah, but you went to a very interesting... I felt that you went to a very... When I heard the story...
Yes.
I felt that you chose to go to a very interesting spot.
Yes.
It's not easily accessed.
No.
And I think very few people know about it unless... You've been there. Was it your idea to go to this place?
No, he went there because
he knows about it?
Well, he looked it up in his little phone, and it was the old train station.
Yeah, because basically, the only reason we know about it is these people there, there's a small business located there. It's called Freight House.
Yeah.
And they put our kitchen cabinets in, these guys did. And that's the only reason I would know about this, a very highly unusual place where trains go by.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Highly unusual.
Highly unusual place. And so we were there, and then nothing happened, and we went to Culver's. And then after Culver's, he's like, well, let's go back. Should we go back? Can we go back? I'm like, you know what? We're here. We can go back. Because obviously it's making this guy happy.
So nobody else wants to, though.
Doug and I just choose to go back with him. And Jennifer took Bob back to Bob's house and to hang out there and watch the Cubs game for a little bit. So we're getting back. It's about 2-3 miles away from Culver's. And we're getting there. And all of a sudden, I looked on the track, and a train is right there. It is coming. And I go, wah! I scream out of joy, because you don't know what's going to happen. There's no train, schedule that you can follow. And so we cross the tracks really quick, and we park into this parking lot where previously there was another person there watching the trains go by, which there were none previously. And so we get out of the car, and Josh does not get out of the car, but Doug and I get out of the car. And Josh is just there with his phone. He's recording the train. And so Doug and I are waving to the conductor. He's waving back.
And it's because you're literally like 6 inches away.
Like, oh, yeah, it's right there.
You're right there.
You're right there.
There's no guards. There's nothing. You're just there.
And so you're like, and you just feel exhilarated because you got to see a trend because that was the one thing you wanted to do, right?
Yeah.
And then he was elated. And and I thought, wow, to make a guy happy, even though this was the dorkiest thing I could have done on a Saturday night, but because I'm used to seeing trains, not that close.
No,
sometimes closer, really. I work around trains.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And so
that's true.
Yeah. So I was, but it was just so nice to make someone really happy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something to that, right?
Yeah, it's so sweet.
Yeah.
So here's the thing now.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring this full circle.
Please do, because I don't know why I throw this stuff up to you.
I have a song that I like.
Yeah.
And you told me that the guy who sings it happens to be from the group Train.
Ah!
Am I right?
Yes.
And I couldn't believe it. And then I heard the song, and then about 2 days later, I was just turning on my phone, my phone to play the radio.
Yeah.
I'll get it. I'll get the right language eventually. And that song by Jupiter.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was on.
Yeah.
So and the song that I like is "Hey, Mr. DJ, play me a song that my baby loves," and I could not believe that darling guy that does that song with that video is from Train. I just couldn't believe it.
So I'm guessing that melody is Poe Domain now, I'm guessing, right?
Yes.
Because that melody had to have been around. What's the original song from that?
Heart and Soul, I think. Heart and Soul. I don't really know.
Well,
so that's how I'm going to bring that full circle.
Did I mention... I think it happened this week. Did I mention our encounter with JC? Did I mention that at all?
Oh, no. Oh, wait. We did. Last week. We read it, even.
Oh, we did, didn't we?
I think.
That makes sense.
But we've heard some
other interesting news.
Why don't we say there's a part two?
Yes. So last week.
But you might want to recap it briefly.
Okay. So last week, because Mom's light was shining so brightly, we had an encounter with someone, and a gentleman came up, and we were at physical therapy and doing your thing, and he came up and he started quoting positive affirmations to us. And I've seen him around before. You know, he's like an MMA fighter kind of thing. He's like older, but he looks like that in a sense that he always wears a sweatshirt and wears a hat and all this stuff.
And he just looks like an MMA dude.
Like he has to make weight for his fight. Mm-hmm. So he's got to sweat it all out. He's got to leave it all on the floor.
Yeah. We had that impression of
That's what I have the impression of. And so I had asked him, you should write those things down. He goes, "Will we write them down for you?" I go, "Well, no, not for me necessarily, but for you so you don't forget them." He goes, "I'll write them down for you." I'm like, okay, whatever.
He goes and writes them down.
And get into me, and I go, "Oh, what's your name?" And he goes, "You won't know me yet. You won't know me for a while, but you can call me JC. And I'm like, okay, JC.
And I felt that after I got home that night, what he had written down, there were a couple of passages that were truly significant to me.
Yes.
And I just chose to take those and to deepen them. And one was, "Do not forsake the one who loves you most."
Yes.
And that has so many different layers and dimensions to me. I mentioned it to a really good friend who's another spiritually deep person. And she goes, "Well, how did you take it?" And I just said, there are several levels.
Yeah.
Because I felt like JC was saying, do not forsake the one that loves you the most. We're reading Jordan Peterson because I feel like I need that bolstering right now.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like what is wrong with the world? I mean, that's why I'm so highly into comedy.
Yeah.
Because I have no other way to sort of vanquish the pain of what
existence.
In the hell is going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is the point of being?
Yes.
In all of this, how do we increase the light
right.
on the planet? I don't know.
Right.
And so to hear, you know, someone just say, hey, you know, do not forsake the one who loves you most. And by the way, you can just call me JC.
Yeah.
I go, I'll take it.
I'll take it. And so we took it. And then the other day, we're hearing that someone that may or may not fit the description of JC had to be escorted out of the facility for being, as the millennials or youngsters, the hipsters are calling it, rude behavior.
Yeah.
Or just, and I'm like, rude? What does that mean?
Yeah.
And
the youngsters were offended.
They were offended by.
They're so easily offended by someone. Oh my God.
And so.
Oh my God, you're being politically incorrect. Or you're just being like, you're in my space.
Yes.
You're in my space.
Now, this week, JC did give me another saying. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember it, but the punchline was had something to do about a dog coming.
Yeah.
And
I thought it might have been a nasty joke.
I thought it was too.
But was it?
I thought it might have been.
Yeah, cause I looked at you and go, I don't get it unless it's really dirty.
I think it could have been dirty.
Yeah. What?
I just gave him a little pat on the shoulder. And I said, oh, stop it.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess, because that's how I would have handled it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I guess if I was brave enough, I'd say, knock it off, sir.
Yeah,
it's inappropriate.
You're in my space.
It's inappropriate. I talk about this at physical therapy. Mm. There is no joke. Joking around like this, but
the truth is, the guy is like a serial drive-by.
Yes,
you know, like a drive-by shooting.
Yes,
you know, it's like you just stop, you shoot the guy, and then you go real fast. So that's how he is. He'll come by you,
yes,
and go dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
And then leave.
Yeah, oh, exactly right.
He's not like, he doesn't like stay in your
personal
space.
And waiting for a response.
No.
He'll come by,
yeah.
Literally tell you one of his phrases,
yeah.
And then leave before you're even able to say, oh, let me give you some insight.
Yeah. It's
No.
It's like a drive-by.
He's a drive-by philosopher?
Yeah.
The drive-by philosopher.
Who got kicked out of physical therapy.
Because he was philosophizing a little too much.
To the millennials.
To the little flower buds.
Yeah.
The snowflakes.
Yes.
And so, but I can see how, like I said, I think he drove by me as well. And I thought, like, going, mm-hmm. I can't find any spiritual meaning to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a little sexual and inappropriate.
Yeah, now you're like going, whoa.
But yeah. then he came back and goes, no, I said it wrong. It should be this. And I'm like,
that's even worse.
I think that's even worse. So now I'm totally confused. Maybe he just misspoke. And like,
would Jesus Christ come by us and tell us a dirty joke?
I don't know.
He might.
He's into humor too.
God, yeah.
I mean, I think at some point,
like,
when his mom goes,
Chris, get it? You know, 2018, Trump's president. Get it? Okay, yeah. God.
Well, I mean, if you watched the roast of Trump. On Thursday night on Comedy Central, I advise you to go watch it. They said it was in 2011.
11, yeah.
So Obama was president.
Yeah.
But they talk about him running
for becoming
president. They talk about it.
Snoop Dogg goes, you know, when what's the joke? When you're president, he said.
He goes. Oh, because
when you become president, right after Obama, he, at least it won't be the first black family you've kicked out of their home.
Yes. And we're like, what?
Wait, what?
What?
And so, I was like, oh my God, people have just been prophesying this for years.
Too long. And so it is very interesting to see that roast in hindsight.
Yes, it is. And I would recommend it. It's painful.
It is painful.
Because it's so, It's just painful.
It's just like, I don't want to say like how it's painful. You feel like you've walked into a time warp.
Yeah.
And going, what am I watching? Yeah. What am I literally watching?
You get freaked out.
Well, and you also get freaked out is that he is being loved by this media group in some sense. And I think a lot of them have turned on him. I would imagine, you know, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know if I do. I guess you, when you say loved, it means because that he allowed them to do this for charity. Is it
for charity?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
People only do that for charity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which charity is it?
Whatever they choose it to be.
Oh, I never like, say that.
Joan Rivers did it, and, you know, she said, you know, it's not pleasant. But right. Then again, she dishes it out.
Right.
You know, but she goes, her charity was God's love for, I mean, it was about an AIDS charity.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. But like, it does a little time, like Mike Sorrentino, the Situation
yes.
from Jersey. I mean, he is so bad.
Painfully bad.
It's painfully bad to watch. He roasts Trump, you know. But
Whitney Cummings was there.
And she
before
just,
she was even.
Yeah. She eviscerated him.
Yeah.
And Seth MacFarlane goes, I want to introduce Whitney Cummings. Some people say she might be a bit
bulimic,
but I don't think so. I think she's full blown or something like that.
Exactly.
I think that was the joke.
That was kind of the joke.
Yeah.
You know, and that was kind of the joke. But so it was kind of funny, but it was also just so real to have him now be our president.
But you know, here's the thing too. That used to be an art, this kind of roasting.
Yes.
But my ears are so precious right now. You know, like when you hear somebody get roasted, it's like, oh, I'm too precious to hear that. We have become thin-skinned. I mean, it used to be an art form. Don Rickles, Joan Rivers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you used to be able to. That used to be like, ha ha, we're doing it.
Right.
But oh my God, you just can't do it anymore.
Right?
What's crazy? The world's turned upside down, Julie.
It has. Maybe it has to be like that for a little while.
There's no truth anymore. We live in a post-truth era.
There's no truth, and yet we all have our truth. We speak our truth, and some people's truth.
We have to speak our truth, whatever
and
that is,
because you have to hear my truth. Than other people's truths.
Yeah.
It's all crazy.
I don't know. I can't get it anymore.
I think this is when you go, reality is fluid.
That's what's fluid.
The reality of
and
it.
And that's why maybe our consciousness is expanding.
It has to be because we only live in the present moment. Mm-hmm. And once that present moment is gone, it is the past. And it's only there for interpretation. And so once the past is only there for interpretation, you're interpreting it one way. Yeah. I'm interpreting it another way.
Yeah.
I mean, even with, you know, I can see something. I watched Anderson Cooper's talk with Comey.
James Comey on that town hall meeting.
I listened to the whole thing for the most part. I maybe switched channels a couple times or whatever. And I came across, I don't care about President Trump. I just care about what he said. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, I think that he's a very reflective man.
I do too.
Who tries to live by his convictions.
Right.
No matter what the fallout, what that might
right,
be.
Right, exactly.
Because he believes his higher conviction is Trump's.
Yeah.
Everything else. And then afterwards, when you hear the commentary from all different kind of media, you're like, did they watch the same thing I did? Because I looked at this and I thought I saw a man that really... really struggled with every decision that he made, and at every given point had
like
a value system
like
that I wasn't.
He did, like he said, I have a choice between something that's bad or something that's horrible, and I chose bad.
Right.
And I understood that sometimes the choices that you make are between bad and shitty.
Yeah, and sometimes you take the at least I take the coward way out by not making a decision. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, screw that. To be proactive in this situation requires a bad decision or a horrible decision.
Mm-hmm. And I choose nothing.
Mm-hmm. I choose let the chips fly where they may or whatever, which you don't want that to be for someone in his position and so forth.
Right. And he's supposed to be able to make these kind of decisions. I mean, he's trained to do that.
Right.
You know, so that's why I believed him. And even if somebody else could say that he made a flawed choice.
And did he make it because the outcome was so flawed?
For them.
And for either one, because you can hear the right and the left, however you say it, say, well, this was a totally flawed outcome. Yeah. Sometimes you're only left with bad choices that only give you flawed outcomes.
Right.
And you're going, I got to take one for the team. I got to get this. I got to fail fast because none of this is working out.
Well, and I hope we didn't talk about this last week, because I thought that you came to me this week and you had read a quote in Jordan's book, I think.
Yeah.
No, it was a different book, I think.
Jack Canada, I think. It was.
Yeah, can you remember that quote about you're supposed to, when something happens that's kind of bad or whatever,
right,
you act as if you chose this to happen.
Yes.
And by doing that, the decisions that you make that proceed from that are quite different than if something bad happened and you go, oh, I can't wait to run away from this fast enough.
Right.
So,
well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's you have to go, okay, I believed I somehow chose this. Mm-hmm. I believe it just to state and be firm in the fact that I chose this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
By choosing this to happen, I'm responsible for every thought, emotions, and feelings I have and every action I have. I then can respond to this because I can't change the event.
As if I chose it to happen. Right.
For whatever reason.
Right.
I chose it to happen to have growth. I chose it to happen because if I do this, it doesn't matter why.
Right.
But acting as if I chose it and created this whole situation the way it is, I get to then become a participant in my own life in a bigger way.
Right. And metaphysically speaking, you did choose it.
Yes. Exactly.
If you can see it from that vantage point.
One of the things James Comey talked about in his interview in regards to Trump was this idea that President Trump doesn't laugh at himself, or like he doesn't have a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I even looked it up on YouTube and I couldn't find one place where I really felt he was laughing and having a good time.
And even at this roast that we saw in 2011, we were like, after having heard that, we go, he's not laughing.
He really isn't
laughing. He might move his shoulders up and down a little bit and kind of
grim, like a little smirk.
But no, he doesn't laugh.
He did look like the mob king. Like, you're all there to impress me with your taunts in some sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was an interesting observation and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And what I remember before President Trump was President Trump, what I remember about Trump was that he was just a caricature of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he was. Mm-hmm. He was, I'm trying to think what his contemporary would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in some ways, like a Mel Gibson or like a, Bruce Willis, or like he is just what he is. There is like he's iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, okay.
You know, I don't know. I don't know his depth about anything. I only know his persona.
Right. He's a persona.
He's a persona.
Right.
And so that's all I know him as a persona. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything else about him. And so it's just kind of, does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of contemporary.
I was trying to think of somebody else that was talking about it. And he goes, I always kind of thought of him as a clown.
Yeah. Okay.
And he goes, and then we elected a clown.
Yeah.
And then, so now we got a clown cabinet.
Yeah.
And we, you know, it's got a bunch of clowns trying to get out of a little bitty car.
Yeah.
You know, so it's farcical.
Yes.
And I think that's just where we're at. That's that we needed that kind of a shakeup.
And God only knows where I heard this from this week, but I swear I heard the phrase clown orgy. And
I did hear a clown orgy.
Did I hear
from Dan Savage?
Oh, was that hit? And I go, I thought to myself, I'd pay money to see that. And I would pay money because I'm wondering, are they still in costume? Because
they only have clown faces on.
They only have clown, okay.
Like red noses.
But
bones.
See, now I don't think that constitutes a clown, just having your face done.
So you would think you want them to have the big shoes?
No, I want the makeup to go. I want the like, you know how the drapes and the carpet have to match? I want, like, if you're going to go with the clown makeup and you have it on your hands too, or you have the gloves, I want your whole body to be clown makeup if you're going to go buff.
Oh, they maybe it is.
You know, otherwise you just
I think it was.
How do you also Sunny, embrace the clown?
Sunny Megatron.
Yes.
And her real sex show
was that. Is that her
Showtime.
Given name? Her Christian name?
That's yeah. That's her baptismal name.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I like that about her.
And so that and she.
I'd get along with her parents really well. I'm sure.
And she was talking about that on Showtime. They explore all different aspects of sexuality, and so they visited a clown orgy.
Yes,
and not.
But
just,
I don't have Showtime, so I did not.
Missed it.
I missed it.
We had to watch Bill Maher.
I'll tell you what.
Vice.
I will never ever. You say we missed it. There will never be a time in my life that you and I are together. Watching a clown orgy together. That won't happen. I'm not saying you can't watch a clown orgy and I can't watch a clown orgy, but there is this line that together we cannot watch a clown orgy unless they still have their clothes on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're just clowns having fun.
Yeah.
They're just clowns because they're just clowns clowning
just
around.
Clowns having clown around.
Yeah, not clown around. But you know, the truth is when they're in that little car and the clowns come out of that car,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that. Some of them aren't just grinding up against each other. We don't know what's going on in that car.
We don't know what's going on in those big pants.
We don't know what's going on in that big pants, big boy pants, or those little cars. And
big shoes.
There's a lot of stuff going on that we don't know about.
Yeah.
But then I thought, could there be like a mime orgy? And like, would that be something I'd pay to see too?
A mime orgy. And they couldn't talk or even have anything come out of their mouths.
Exactly. Or everything is just mimed. Everything's just mimed. There's no touching.
There's always there's circles. There's like the circle with the fingers and then the finger going through the circle.
Everything's just mimed. That's how it is. But you know, when I've been to the doctor and they ask you the question, like your drinking habits.
Mm-hmm.
When I had Lyme disease, I got asked that question a lot by different doctors, you know, for no other reason. That's just part of the thing they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, the first time I got was asked by a nurse, and I said, they go, do you drink? I said, I do not drink. I mean, I may have a sip of something at a holiday party, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wrote down, oh, you occasionally drink. And I go, I would not call what I do occasionally drink. So then I thought to myself, I go, when they ask you that question again,
say no.
Say no. Because the truth is, I don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink. And I could not ever drink. It's not my thing, mm-hmm. right? And so
you and Trump have something in common.
We neither one of us drinks.
That's right.
Exactly. And so, but here's the thing. If you're being asked about your sexual kinks or whatever, mm-hmm. and one of the questions were, you know, have you partaken in an orgy? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you saw an orgy for about a minute or two.
And in life or on TV? Or?
On anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say just on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say in real life. Somehow you were walking by a room like, oh, yeah. And you chose, I'm just going to sit here for a second and see what I'm really seeing and take in. Like, what's going on here?
Oh, there's an orgy in that
That's
house.
An orgy. And then you just kept on moving.
But you kept on walking.
You know. And then you were asked.
Have you ever seen an orgy?
Yeah. And you're like, well, yeah, they're like, oh, he checked.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is.
And now with that check mark, you're in the computer. And somehow when your ancestry.com kicks up your DNA, they're going to come after you because you were a witness to that orgy
with
that person.
Or just I'm an orgy witnesser.
Yeah.
I'm someone who is a not an exhibitionist, but a. If I'm not, what's the other one of that?
Like the kind that just a voyeur,
yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm really not.
Yes, you are.
Oh yes, because you did.
Oh yes, you are.
I go, well, I mean, there has to be this thing where once does not mean you are that thing.
Occasionally.
Once does not mean occasionally. Once means I never do. You know?
Mm.
Once is I never do.
Once means no.
Once means no.
Two times means occasionally.
That's how I'm calling it. And so, you know, whatever you do, you smoke. I may have a cigar once a year, but I'm not going to tell anybody that. I do not smoke ever. I am against smoking, you know, so that's kind of how I feel about
it. Can I be there when you have your cigar this year?
No, that's the other line that we cannot cross. Will you not share cigars?
And when you have your sip of beer,
when I have my scotch and my cigar around this table, where there's a globe, and they open the globe out and they pull out this 100-year scotch.
Yeah, you know, I want to see that, Joel.
And there's a humidor in it.
And then all of a sudden you have to witness this clown orgy.
Yeah. And it all happens in one day.
Yeah.
And so
I would vote for that day.
Okay.
Why don't we make that a national holiday? We'd have to.
We got to call it something really great that like doctors could get behind.
Yeah.
Like the no day or like the mulligan, the mulligan day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever happens this
I would
day.
Call it the hall pass day.
The hall pass.
Yeah. Wherever that day should be a national holiday and nobody can get mad at anybody else.
Right.
You can do anything you want that day.
But you can't do anything. Not the purge. It's not like the purge.
No. It's the anti-purge.
Yeah, it's more like kink day.
Yeah.
Where we all say for one day,
yeah.
You get a hall pass.
Yeah.
You can smoke, drink, swear, fornicate, do whatever you want to do. Clown orgy.
We'll call it Kinky Tuscadero Day.
Oh, I love it.
I know.
Kinky. I love it.
Yeah. Remember in Happy Days?
Yes.
The girl was Pinky Tuscadero.
Yeah, did you hear what I did?
No, that... Yeah.
She did. She's a clap her legs and then point like a gun.
Yeah. That wasn't Happy Days. Maybe it was Laverne and Shirley.
No, it was Happy Days, but okay. They crossed over.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They crossed over. Yeah. And so if you chose to
wear like a furry... What day of the year or what month is Kinky Tuscadero Day?
Well, I mean, it would have to be like a Saturday.
Oh, I mean, I'm thinking about like, is it in the fall?
Well, you'd like it in the fall.
I would like it
because
in the fall.
You want to be like cool.
Yeah.
Other people, if it's just not about you, if it's about the whole planet, they would like it probably a little warmer.
Yeah, okay.
But even if I like wore like a furry outfit as well.
Go and cosplay.
Yeah, cosplay.
Oh, cosplay.
Yeah.
I was like, by cosplay.
Yeah,
cosplay.
Or ghost play. You know, still, when the doctors ask you, mm-hmm. do you ever do any of these things?
Mm-hmm.
If it's only on that one day, you're allowed to say no.
You're
allowed to say no.
You can say, it's I do it on Kinky Tuscadero Day.
No, I don't think you don't have to cop to it at all.
Oh, I don't have to?
No.
Okay.
And it could be once every 5 years, too. We can have or every other year.
No.
It's just a once a year.
Like a leap year?
No, I said that before. It could be like on leap year day. No, okay.
I'm shaking my head.
You're shaking your head no. So then we have just come to the conclusion that this must be a one day a year
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
You are allowed to do it to partake in anything.
Mm-hmm.
And when the doctors ask you about your behaviors,
mm-hmm.
anything that happens that day is a mulligan.
Right.
You know, don't even have to mention it.
Right.
And I'm all for that.
Love it.
Because I believe that is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do not think it's right that if you take a drink a year, you're an occasional drinker. I do not believe that's true. You don't drink.
So we're and you know what I want? I want the license to do the cards for this day. So, you know, when you send people the Kinky Tuscadero happy kinky day.
Oh, can we just start this? Let's just start it now.
Okay.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, Kinky Tuscadero day. Give me a date. What do you think? October 10th?
October 21st.
Or how about like the third?
I'm going to be in Dollywood at that point in time.
Well, you are going to be in Dollywood, which I think
that would be kind of awesome.
Yes. Yes. I like it.
Yeah.
And we can even have contracts. Like if you were the partner.
Yeah.
And you said during this one day.
Yes.
You can be. As obnoxious or.
Yeah.
As you can.
Yeah.
But now you can't break boundaries in the sense of, you know, you can't go out in the world and like touch someone inappropriately. Like, you know.
Unless they're
part of the kink.
They're part of it.
And that's what they want.
Okay.
Okay.
If you're wearing, like, a clown nose that day, you can.
Something innocuous. Innocuous.
Okay. But, I mean, something that could identify you as participating. Yes. Like, I'd say Patrick's Day, if you're wearing green,
yes.
People can come up to you and go, hey, yeah, I have a beer.
Exactly.
Because you're like, oh, no. Yeah. So you got to have something identifiable.
But not that you're, not like a
clown. Not the clown nose.
Nah, yeah, because, okay. You know, how are you going to go to work and all this stuff? Do you have like a rose lapel? You know, on your a rose
that
lapel?
Squirts water. Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, our piss. I'm only saying that because, and the clown orgy.
Yes, that was part of it.
That was part of it.
And with President Trump, that is part of it as well.
So that would be a
full
pass.
Circle, a pass.
Full circle pass.
A full circle mulligan pass.
Yeah.
And we're going to call it our Kinky Tuscadero Day.
Yeah, October 21st.
Should we make it like the third Saturday of the month?
You like Saturdays. I'm not sure.
Just have it one day, no matter what.
Whatever day it is.
October 21st.
Yeah.
We should check this date in history, make sure nothing else has happened in that day.
Right.
And so forth.
Yeah. And if you would, and okay, time out. I am going to own the concession with the flowers that squirt water.
Yes.
And I'm also going to own the cards that people will send to each other that and any other thing that I can think of.
I think we should look up the URL and get it, Kinky Tuscadero.
Yeah.
But I think if people have no idea how to spell it. So
Kinky Tuscadero day.com.
So be like KKD. Kinky?
KTD.
KTD.
Yeah.
Kinky.
Kinky Tuscadero.
KKT. KKT? Kinky.
What? Why do you? Well, kinky is one word.
Oh,
though.
Oh, okay. Yes, true.
Not kink. Kinky.
KTD.com. All right, we should look that up.
Yeah,
somebody's gonna take it already.
Oh, you bastards!
Exactly.
Stop it now.
So, what do we learn today, girlfriend?
What did we learn today?
What's your takeaway?
When we're high on sugar, baby, it's
a show that cannot be stopped. This train cannot be stopped.
And what's his name? My train guy.
I don't know.
You don't know his name?
I don't know his name. I'm sorry.
Can you look it up real quick?
Yeah.
Because how could we not? How could this not come full circle?
I don't know.
Dun, 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 da, 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 da. And then how does that song go about Jupiter? And I'm flying to Jupiter.
And you fall from the shooting star.
Did you ever? Da, da, da,
da. Train singer. Okay.
Yeah. And don't say it's Gavin.
No, it's not Gavin McCall. Gavin McGraw. Pat Monahan. That's who it is.
Pat Monahan. Mm-hmm. An Irish guy. He's going to wear green on St. Patrick's Day. But on October 21st, he's going to be wearing the flower that squirts water.
That's right. And exploring his kink day. Your mulligan day.
Yeah. So bye-bye, Mr. Train. Yeah. Bye-bye, trains.
Yep.
Hello, heart and soul. Dun, dun, dun.
So, girlfriend, how's the show?
Da, 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 da. It was great.
It was great. It was great.